Right, clap you bastards, it's the Mashup Show!
It's the Mashup Show! Yay! Hello gang, this is the Mashup Show. Have you enjoyed yourself so far today?
Yes!
That's what I would say. Right, get your phones out. And then when you've got your phones out, go to fostalk.com/vote. And then we see whether the fucker just crashes. But
Also, people we'll who are out. Standing right in front of the bar, please yeah, move over to not block the camera.
Yeah, can you just step that way because you're standing in the way of the camera?
Man in the blue shirt.
Yes, thank you.
Exactly.
See the camera just behind you?
No, that's
I'm standing
that's
right
worse.
In front of him.
Go
on. Yeah, there
keep
we
going,
are.
Keep going,
keep going. Keep going.
The red thing with the lens.
That's the camera.
We're sorry, there was seat two at the front, if you prefer. Stay there, okay? Right, so get your phones out, go to fostalk.com/vote, because we decided, most of the other people they talk to you, but we thought we'd seek your opinion on a bunch of things. And talking to canonical people, apparently asking the community to provide them data is fine now. So... I said it was fine. What more do you want? Right, so have you all gone there yet? It should say something along the lines of wait for your presenter to start the thing.
Yes. Yes.
Excellent. Right, first of all, I should introduce you to the four of us because each of you have seen actual podcasts that you probably listen to, but we're kind of a collection. So, first up, Marius Grohek. Marius used to be ubuntufun.de, now he's nerdzoom.de and the Nerdzoom podcast. So, excellent. Next up, Dave Beggars Nichols. Give him a cheer from Geek News Radio.
Don't cheer, I'm terrible.
Really, only just fits under our ceiling. Pathetic Ultramarines fan. Next, Joe Rexington, you know Joe, give him a big cheer. From Late Night Linux and Late Night Linux Extra and the Linux Action Show, the internet's premier source of entryware adverts.
First of all, it's Linux Action News.
Oh, yeah, shit, so it is.
And second of all, it's Late Night Linux that's sponsored by Entryware.
And me, hi, I'm Stuart Langridge, I do Bad Voltage. Thank you very much. So, we thought what we'd do is we'd poll you for opinions. Right. So what we want to know is the best Linux distro, but instead of just going, it's a free-for-all, you will notice those of you look at your phones, you don't get to choose yet, right? Good. So we're each going to defend a particular choice, and then you can vote for either which one you think is the best or which one of us presented the best argument. Okay? So, first up... Oh, me. Excellent. Ubuntu Mate, because it's obviously the fucking best, right? I know. I appreciate it's only me and Wimpress, but...
You're going to get at least one vote.
Yes. But what I'm telling you, right, I like Mate... because I like Ubuntu, because it's the most popular. But the reason I like Mate is that you get that feeling that when I first got into Linux, it really felt like it was a really tight community and you could make little changes and they'd have a big effect. It felt friendly. And Ubuntu Mate still does that to me. I think that's fantastic. I really, really like that. And that's why I use Ubuntu Mate, and that's why I think it's the best Linux distro. You knobend.
Says you. You did it earlier.
I knocked half a pint on the corner of the stage. What I didn't do was pour 40,000 pints of beer on someone's expensive Hammond organ. Nonetheless.
Good job I'm editing this.
Right, okay, so edit that out. Right, pause for the edit. And we continue. Next. Defend right. Your choice.
So, I'm the one defending Solus this time. I was a long-term Ubuntu Unity user since like 11.10, I think. And then I came across Solus, which was a curated rolling release. And it's also like had really great support for SnapD. So it has Snap support. And even more importantly, it's also curated rolling release. And the... I took some notes on that. Right, the EOPKG packaging manager is also really, really fast, which was a nice change from coming from apt and using Debian packages. And so there was also this really weird guy called Ike who was very kindly to respond to all of my questions, setting up how to set up Solus in a way that I wanted it to work. And so that's why I really enjoy using Solus and why I think it's the best Linux distro.
Excellent. Next is Joe, defend your choice. Ubuntu.
Well, obviously it's Ubuntu, because Ubuntu is the best base. There's no doubt about that.
Yay!
Yes, there's consensus, I think, among the canonical employees, at least.
And
well,
me, yeah, because I've...
ex-canonical employees, I'll have you know.
Look, I have travelled far and wide when it comes to Linux distros. I've tried all sorts of different... Yeah, exactly. All the different flavors. No, I've tried everything from Slackware to Puppy to Fedora to everything, Arch. And
you can tell he's tried Arch because he just told us about it.
Exactly, yeah. And the thing is that Ubuntu just makes the most sense to me. Ubuntu LTSs make the most sense to me, especially in the age of snaps, you see. I've even got that going for me.
So
I know, I'm so on brand. Even the lineup is in the Ubuntu font. That's how much of a shill I am. But... unfortunately, GNOME is a fucking car crash of a, you know, of a desktop environment, and anyone who attempts to argue otherwise must work for Red Hat or Canonical, as far as I'm concerned. No, look, I love Choice, and if you enjoy GNOME, fair enough, but it's just horrible. Mate is excellent. But
stop there. There we go.
Yeah, right.
Fantastic. Yeah, remember, Joe said Ubuntu Mate is excellent. So when it comes time to vote, yeah, you know which button to press.
However, XFCE is where I feel at home. I've tried all different stuff, and I just always come back to XFCE. And Zubuntu is the best implementation. The only thing is to put the panel in the wrong place at the top. It takes me 10 seconds to move it down to the bottom. Job done. Ready to use. So for me, you know, I'm just arguing for what I like, and the only thing I like better than XFCE and Zubuntu is Choice. And if you choose something else, then that's fucking excellent. But I choose Zubuntu time and time again. And even on that Chromebook that's running this right now, it is Gallium OS, which is based on Zubuntu.
Okay, right. And finally, Dave, defend your choice, name your choice, and then defend it.
So. Normally I turn up and I tell you all these Microsoft things. I decided not to answer the question. I said, you can have basically whatever distro you want to do because there's a shim to make it work on an operating system where you can play Fortnite and Divinity Original Sin 2. So you can have all of the things in the command line, but like there's like a real answer here. So like it's a good distro. These are all valid distros for someone who knows how to use Linux, right? But we want to get more people to do it. And we want to get like little Alexes who are nerds to play games, but then like maybe write some open source software and contribute to the Linux kernel one day. So maybe they want to play Fortnite, their parents buy them a laptop, it's got Windows 10, boom, we can give them Linux straight away. They can start developing on Unixy tools, which are objectively better. No cheer? Oh, man. Jesus.
For the benefit of the tape, he's talking about the Windows subsystem for Linux.
Sorry. Yeah.
No. That wasn't me being annoyed with the amount of time you took. I was being annoyed because that's actually quite a convincing argument.
Yeah. So you get your fun games, which everyone wants on Linux. They're on Windows. Boom. You want your tools? Done. You can integrate with GitHub, which will be Microsoft lovely replacing TFS, which I'll be very happy with. So, yeah. Windows for freedom? I guess is what I'm saying here.
Okay, you know you got really high pitched there at the end. Right?
That's the podcast question. Voice.
Okay, so let's find out. Now comes the test. So I go like this, and we get a graph. Now vote. You should now be able to vote, and we should see in real time.
You're last.
Fucking hell! Oh, no. Yes. Come on.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Come on. Should I start a victory lap now? Here it comes.
No.
So WinPress has obviously got some sort of script going, and that's why 50%
have actually voted. Yeah, shit, this is the wrong audience. Someone's written, got like 1,000 JavaScript engines running in their phone or something.
So,
well then, everyone, drinks from me.
Oh no, it moved there. Anyone
thank
else?
You, that
any
person.
Other votes?
Are we allowed to vote on this?
No, you're not allowed to vote.
Maybe I should vote.
No, you're not allowed to vote. Right, so I declare the best Linux distro, as voted for by the members of Fostalk, is Ubuntu Mate. Give it up! Woo! Next question. Yeah! So, now we've already had this discussion, but what we've heard so far is people on stage giving their opinion. What I'm interested in is, have you been convinced by any of their arguments? Right? Are you sticking with something you know and love? Are you one of the new Johnny-come-latelys to KDE? Whatever. So let's see. Who's up first? Go, Maris.
Okay, since I was just defending Solus, it only makes sense to promote or to vote for the in-house development desktop environment, which is Budgie. The thing that stands out for me with Budgie is like it's really minimalistic and it's really fast, and also it's still using X instead of Wayland, so I don't have to put up with any screen sharing issues and other stuff. And
dude,
right,
everything is using X instead of Wayland.
still, that's my point. Right, what else? Right, I never got around using GNOME or KDE because it turns out I'm too stupid to set it up correctly, so I never tried anything else, and I moved from Unity straight to Budgie, and it was really great and easy to use, so that's why I vote for Budgie.
Okay, next is...
So,
ooh.
Once we've got little Alex to develop open source software on the Windows subsystem for Linux, which is the second best Linux distribution... they decide that like they've built a thing that like analyzes PUBG games, and they want to build heat maps and deploy that as a web app, right? So they're like, oh, I could put that on Azure, but that costs money, so let's do it with Linux. And they go look at Linux and they find Ubuntu, and Ubuntu comes with GNOME by default, and that's where all the documentation is. So that's where that's the one we pick, because that's got all the solutions. No one's going to be like, well, actually, I'm using, you know, some ancient like thing written in Haskell that was that? I can't even remember the name of that thing that does the tiling. No, exactly. So you pick GNOME because it's got all the documentation so you can solve your problem. Job done.
Fair argument. Next is...
Surprise, surprise, XFCE. And so, well, I pretty much made the case for it before, but it is completely customizable, much like KDE is, but I feel it is the lightest usable desktop. If you go any lighter than that, then it's not that useful. It is usable, but it's not useful for actual work. If you go heavier than that, then what's the point of it? It's completely modular. You can do whatever you want with XFCE. You can make it look like Windows XP. You can make it look like macOS. You can do basically what WinPress has done with Mate, but you don't need to have his ego get even bigger. So, and I really, it boils down to, I started using it about 10 years ago and I haven't needed to change. It's not a compelling argument, maybe, but I just urge you all to try it. If you think that, oh, XFCE, that's some old shit thing or whatever, actually give it a go for a few days and you will see, actually, Joe's got a point, man. XFCE is pretty good.
I'm still using the same black wallpaper as a background.
Yes, I have plain black wallpaper, of course, yeah.
Why?
Because either I'm looking at the windows that I want to look at, or I'm not looking at it. So why do I need a wallpaper?
Is it the lightest because it's got the fewest characters in the name?
LXD is the same number of characters.
So does Mate. Damn it.
Well, hang on one second.
Wait for the next one.
Now, to be honest with you, I thought it would be unfair to just pick Ubuntu Mate again because I knew it was going to win, and it did. So, I mean, fine. I grant your point about Martin's ego. Pretty fucking healthy ego, to be honest with you.
I was just happy to make the running.
So wait, my defence is Mate Cupertino layout, right? Which now...
If you want to pretend that you've got a Mac but you can't afford it, then Mate Cupertino.
Which is precisely absolutely what I was looking for. Actually, no, I mean, technically I've customised it a bit, but yes, one of the things I like about Ubuntu Mate is that you're not stuck. It was originally devised so it looked like GNOME 2 for all the people who really liked GNOME 2, which I did in 2004, don't get me wrong, but... I like the fact that you've got easily switchable desktop layouts. And the point is not just you can customize it and do what you like with it. I grant you, Joe, you can do that with Ubuntu, but I don't want to have to learn. I just want to go, here's a nice little drop-down list. I'll just pick that one, please. Yeah. So I've tried them all, and so I picked Mate Cupertino. So now is your chance to vote for one of these four. You've heard our opinions. Now we want to hear yours. So vote now.
Fuck Unity. Bear in mind that I always put Mate on other people's computers that I set up for them.
Thanks, team.
I was this close to putting Unity 7 on the list, but I thought saying the best Linux desktop environment is one that you can't get anymore seemed a bit...
You can.
Oh, the continuation thing.
It's in the archive.
Stuart, I think you...
So is every other fucking desktop.
Fine.
Joe,
step back from the thing. Oh, fuck's sake,
I think
sake,
that
really?
there's been a mistake in your coding, Stuart, because this can't
obviously
be fucking right.
Of one.
That
wow.
Half the motherfuckers here.
Half the people
that's
here
because
thinking,
people
okay.
Did, no one argued for KDE, right? Because that's what won the last episode, so I was like, oh, I'm screwed, I'm losing. But
right, okay,
yes.
So I declare it important that GNOME wins. That's 50%, that's a majority.
Well,
right. What's next? Now, we decided, you know, we've got lots of very serious questions about gathering data from you about what's the best desktop, you know, whatever. So, slightly more lighthearted. Everyone's got stupid vulnerability names. That Lennon's voice guy said that. So, Joe, defend your choice.
Right, Spectre. So it's speculative execution, and it's also like a ghost in the machine. So Spectre, it's fucking genius. I rest my case.
That's your defense.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is a clever pun. It's funny. And if you're going to have a ridiculous name, then at least make some effort with it. And I think they really hit the nail on the head with Spectre.
No, that's that. Also a James Bond movie. Yep.
Yeah, okay. So it's bad for SEO. So yeah, maybe I shouldn't have gone
okay,
for it.
Next name is Marius.
Okay, Ifel, you're most likely familiar with that one because it's one of the most recent vulnerabilities, which is basically just a vulnerability in the implementation of SMIME and GPG in email clients. And since I have no idea what Spectre and Ifel and all of the other ones that are about to come up do exactly, I just voted for it because that's the one that I think the name makes the most sense. Because email and fail and stuff. And there's really no great justification for it.
Is that because in German everything's quite literal? And
could be, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and our next defendant is Dave.
So this is a thing from 2016, back before every vulnerability had a T-shirt and stickers and a website. I mean, it had a website, but it didn't really have stickers or anything.
Image Tragic.
Yeah, so Image Tragic was some remote code execution basically on lots of image magic things because it was a bit shit. I like it because it's very obvious what was wrong. Like, Spectre, what did that affect? Like, CPUs, how does that work? Image Tragic is very clearly image magic.
E-fail, what could that have possibly been?
I don't know, some sort of electronic fail. So,
okay, yeah,
all the software? I don't know. So yeah, Image Tragic. It was great. It was the OG, not really OG, but you know, it was a bare era of vulnerabilities, pre just vulnerabilities for the sake of T-shirts.
Yeah,
that is fair play. I mean, I kind of take Dave's point about, you know, vulnerabilities on the names of T-shirts, but I really wanted something that really expressed how to actually name a vulnerability the way that it really expresses what InfoSec's about and what should be important to us in the world of software. So my favourite vulnerability is that one.
Yes.
CVE 2014.
And the answer
6271.
Right. Don't give them stupid fucking names and a logo. Right? Here's the thing. Anyone who's thinking of doing that, fucking pack it in. It's really annoying. I mean, I grant you, it's very easy to talk about. I don't even know what that one is. I just looked it up.
CVE 2017-0144. That was the one.
You're right, I did need that.
So
I can't remember. Someone look it up. But yeah, I mean, Spectre, I know what it is. Ifel, I know what it is. If he's trying to know that one, I've got no idea. And it is, there is some kind of vaguely sensible idea, but it's still, I want people to stop giving their damn vulnerabilities a logo before they report it to BugTrack. Right? Stop doing it. So now, you get to vote.
Come on, Spectre.
Yes!
Come on, Spectre.
No. Yes! No! Oh. Oh, Jesus.
Come on.
Oh, get in.
The fight back starts.
I was about to say, I could actually win this one.
Oh, dear. Oh. I should have put real numbers so we've got some idea when people have finished voting.
Just make it up.
So, are we, everyone done? Anyone still voting? I win again. So, okay, fantastic. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Next question. Right, which laptop should you buy? I mean, we've heard a lot of people talking about different hardware and things you might want to get and everything. But if you're actually going out to buy a laptop today, which should you get?
All right, so I've been using the Lenovo Carbon X1 2015 model for over 3 years now, and it's a great combination of a business ready laptop. Like it's a great ultrabook. It has a 14-inch screen. It's also available with a touch screen, and it's even capable of doing light video editing and like if you compile software and stuff. And it also has a really great battery life, like up to 8 hours under load, and I think up to 14 hours on standby or on idle. And yeah, it's basically the perfect thing in between if you're looking for something that is capable of that is perfect for taking to the office or that you take in your bag when you travel around the world, which I do very much. And so that's pretty much why I would like to recommend the 2018 one, because it's basically an upgraded display and a better CPU and even more RAM. So
nice. Good call. Next.
Yeah. So this kind of arcs back to things people have said previously in voting with your wallet. The Dell XPS range you can buy with Ubuntu on it, which is great. And if you do so, it's voting with your wallet to a company that can do something. So obviously you can't buy Apple because you can never buy Apple with Ubuntu. If you buy Lenovo Carbon, you have to buy it with Windows on it. So
you can buy it without an operating
system.
Can you really? Yeah, you can.
That screws me.
And it has great Linux.
But okay, so this is the competitor. You get the nice sort of sleeker, kind of smaller form factor, kind of 13-inch form factors with equally good battery life. But you get the kind of option to vote. I love that Entroware exists. That's great. And it sponsors podcasts, which is awesome. But fundamentally, you're going to make a small business bigger, which is good. Small businesses are great. But if you can get a big company to pay attention that Linux is a thing that we want on laptops, they're in a better position to give us more options than, you know, Entroware or other small companies. So maybe one day someone will accidentally buy a Dell laptop and they'll get Linux and maybe they'll be happy with it.
Okay, our next choice is me. Right. So, I don't think you should buy a laptop. I think you should buy a desktop computer. And... right, part of the reason for that, I'll be quite honest with you, desktop computers, everything in them is changeable. Everything in them is upgradable. You can buy a desktop computer and then if you think it's getting a bit slow, you just buy a motherboard. What you don't do is take this perfectly good piece of equipment, stick it in the box under the bed where your laptop graveyard lives, and then buy another laptop for £1,500, right? Desktops are better in every single way other than the fact that you can't carry them around. And I grant you, if you travel a lot, if you fly around places, if you go to client offices, all that kind of thing, and you need the same computer in all those places, fine, buy a laptop, whatever, right? Buy the XPS or buy the Lenovo Carbon or buy the mystery manufacturer Joe's about to recommend.
But I wonder who it could be.
But... how many of you in here currently have a desktop computer as their primary computer? Good call, people, right? I honestly don't give a shit about your reasons. Just vote for it.
You are but, so wrong and so out of touch.
But part of the point here is it is important, I think, for people to still use desktop machines. Basically, laptops are the wool that's been pulled over our eyes by the computer industry, who are super keen on the idea that we'll spend £1,200 on a new computer every 2 years. Obviously, they love that to bits, right? But what you actually want to do is just go, I think I'll put a bit more RAM or a new motherboard or a third hard drive in this computer that I've already got. And that's why I think that's a good idea. And finally... Joseph.
Okay, so Entroware are a dedicated Linux computer seller based right. here in the UK. They ship computers with Ubuntu and Ubuntu Mate 18.04. And they're a company who cares about Linux. And almost all their machines are completely configurable, which makes Stuart's fucking argument bullshit. Yes. You can upgrade the RAM and, well, the CPUs when you buy them. No, look, Entroware are... a small company based in Liverpool, right? They're sponsoring Oddcamp to the tune of a lot of money. They've sponsored Late Night Linux to the tune of not very much per episode, but quite a lot over a lot of time. They genuinely do give a shit. You know, there are other similar manufacturers or sellers who buy just cheap shit from China and just knock it out without a second thought, without any testing or anything. Whereas Entroware, they do care about it. They get them, they do proper QA, they make sure that all the components are going to work with Linux. And okay, yeah, they can't compete with Dell. If you get XPS or whatever, well, obviously, that's a billion-dollar plus company in America. Whereas this is like a few blokes in Liverpool who are just knocking laptops out. And, you know, if you have problems...
it's the Northern Powerhouse.
Yeah, if you have any problems, you can actually contact them and have a human touch. And yeah, maybe when they get bigger, that might not be the case. But look, Entroware have been very good to our whole community as UK Linux people. They've sponsored the last couple of Odd Camps. They've sponsored my podcast that has allowed me to, you know, make things happen and do stuff like this. So, you know, you're going to pay a little bit of a premium, probably, versus the likes of the other things that people have argued for. And obviously, compared to a fucking desktop, I mean, I'm supposed to be the Luddite here. And Stuart's arguing for a desktop. Look, I've got a desktop, definitely, but I also have a laptop which I can move around. It might only be like, you know, 10 feet from my studio area to the kitchen area of my tiny flat. By studio area, I mean a desk that is a fucking disgrace. But, you know, the desktops are just a totally... That if anyone votes for that, then fuck you, quite frankly.
Let's see, there shall we? Okay, so actually, three really compelling arguments, and I'm trying to decide which laptop I want to vote for now, but vote now.
Come on, Entroware. Yes.
That's one.
Entroware takes the lead.
Oh, desktop people. Oh, come on, desktop people. You know it makes sense.
Shut up.
They're not a sponsor.
Oh, pretty compelling, Joe.
1-800-TING-FTW. Last.ting.com.
Nice.
So you're part of the game. $25 so, credit off your first device.
That's looking a great deal like Edgeware have won.
Edgeware have won with more than half the vote.
More than half the vote. Yes, okay. Thank you very much, Edgeware. Okay. Woo. Next question. Which open source personality deserves the most respect?
Spoiler, right? There's no RMS.
All four of us had to pick one. You might disagree with all of the choices, but let's see. So first up, me. Right, and I'm picking Nat Friedman, which is a controversial choice, don't get me wrong. But a lot of the other people you hear who are open source people who deserve respect are good because they're really good developers or something. Nat Friedman started the GNOME project, and he was, certainly at least, one of us. Well, I went to Guadec in 2006, 2005, just hung out with the guy, had a few beers, perfectly ordinary guy. He wrote code, so on and so forth, and he's now made his way up the pyramid until now he runs GitHub, right? That seems like, for at least some of us, the sort of career trajectory that might be worth thinking about, especially since he has still stuck with open source while he's doing it. Yes, fine, he's not RMS, but then again, which of us are? But importantly, this is a guy who believes in open source, came from open source, worked on the same sorts of projects that we do every time, and now he's in charge of GitHub, which is where most of the code is. Right? That seems like the sort of thing we want to be encouraging people from our community to do, rather than spending all our time going, oh no, that's money, we must hide on the other side of the world from that. So that's why I think Nat Friedman, person to vote for. Next.
So, I picked Guido Van Rossum because he developed Python, which is great. And I feel like a lot of us here are here for the kind of open source for the sake of open source of it. But I feel Python brings open source to certainly science and engineering in a way that's super important. And that going forward, as those disciplines are increasingly software-based, is increasingly more important because the research that people produce needs to be reproducible in 50 years' time, much like research from 50 years ago was. And writing code in an open source way on something that is open source is pretty noble. And also, he's a self-described benevolent dictator for life, but he managed not to be a complete asshole about it, which I think is pretty good. Well, he doesn't berate people on mailing lists and he doesn't make terrible jokes.
Okay. Next is Joe.
Right, so Linus Torvalds is obviously going to win. Like, how could anyone else possibly win this, as far as I'm concerned? Because which open source personality deserves the most respect? Right, anyone in here not running Linux on their laptop, desktop, or phone? Dave. Not a single fucking soul.
I bought a laptop and put Ubuntu on it this year, thank you very much.
Even Dave is running Linux, right?
Me.
And yeah, you can say that he berates people on the mailing list, but like, he just runs shit as he wants to. He doesn't give a fuck, man. He lets his code and his management skills and his just overall magnificence reign and rule and shine. And like, he is like, either you respect RMS, who's just a fucking arsehole, or you respect Torvalds. And well, look, he might be a little bit difficult to deal with, but, like, are any of us not, you know?
Just you, Joe.
Well, look,
Everything we depend on, like all of this free software, all of this open source, whatever you want to call it, it all depends on
we
Linux.
We love Rossum.
Right, good luck running Python. Where you can probably run it on Windows.
It runs on Windows. Runs on Mac.
Good luck running Python on every other operating system that's ever existed.
All right, that was a bad example. All right, well, good luck running any of your fucking serious infrastructure on anything other than Linux.
Okay, and finally, Marius.
Well, for me, it was really the obvious choice, and I could just start telling you about how Mark Shuttleworth has improved the broader Linux desktop and how he was very much the guy who got the Linux server and all of the enterprise stuff to where they are today. But I think the most important point is that I want to phrase here is that he keeps getting shit from pretty much everyone for improving Linux when he's actually the one guy who founded almost everything, as at least from the development kind of view, that brought us to the place with Linux and in the enterprise cloud and even on the desktop where we are right now. So I think it's obvious that Mark Shuttleworth has brought us where we are today.
Ooh, so what do you actually think? Turn to your phones and vote now. No, wait, now. Ooh.
I fucking told you.
Yeah, no. See, I got a vote.
Who else could possibly win but Torvalds, man? Like, Shuttleworth is a worthy second because he has popularised Linux on the desktop, the cloud, and all the rest of it.
Spoke a bit soon, maybe, Joe.
Ooh. It's tight, but...
Oh, come on.
Couple feeling more like some sort of conservative Lib Dem alliance right here.
Are we calling it? Anyone else?
Right.
Okay, so... Linus Torvalds wins with 43.8%. Well played, Linus Torvalds. So, our next question.
Yeah. Best text editor.
Controversial. Who's up? Who's up first?
We are so going.
Go. First into the lion's den, Marius with Atom.
So give it a... One of the other guys are probably destroying my point by defending VS Code in a few minutes. I don't have a strong opinion on text editors. I really don't care. I'm too stupid to close Vim. So I obviously am not a developer. But there are occasions that I handle text and edit text documents. I really like using Atom because it has like the multi-cursor kind of features in it. It's really easy to expand features with it. It has its own package management in it. It was backed by GitHub. I realize that's not a strong argument by now. But I really find Atom really, really easy to use. And that's why I wanted to win.
Especially if you've got a desktop, you can upgrade your RAM.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say, back in the day when I was still running on a hard drive, you actually want to get an SSD for running it.
Dave. So, VS Code, I'm also too stupid to exit Vim. Also, a guy once opened an Emacs kind of thing. I don't know what that's called, buffer, probably? And then I kept it open because it had useful information for 6 months, so it was fundamentally immutable. I picked VS Code because... Which of these do you think is going to keep on being around? So there's that. But more realistically, I think...
Let's have this conversation next year.
VS Code comes with a load of the useful things you'd install with Atom by default, or at least a lot easier to configure. So like linting and debugging and like the sort of IntelliSense Lite thing that it gets. It's very nice for someone who, my little Alex person, they might want to use VS Code because it comes with loads of really useful tools configured by default, apart from you have to opt out of sending metrics back to Microsoft straight away. There's a little pop-up window that you really have to pay attention to.
Are these text editors or IDEs though?
I was going to argue for Visual Studio, but I thought you might all lynch me.
Next on the list is me, right? Sublime Text. Now, everything they've said about Atom and VS Code is right, including the fact that they're now all owned by GitHub. Sublime Text is a similar kind of vibe to these. It's not open source, which is a big point against it. And I basically like Sublime because it's really fast and it's never, ever, ever, ever lost any of my data. And those are the two things that I care about. I've normally got 5 or 6 different Sublime windows open, each of which has got somewhere in between 1 and 70 tabs open in it with different things in. And Sublime, I've never quit the editor explicitly. I just reboot my machine. Half the tabs in there, I've never saved them. I never gave them names, anything like that. But the editor, if I just reboot my machine, the editor comes back up and he's never lost any of my data. And that's basically all I give a shit about with text editors. It's also got the huge big library and it's got a big community behind it building things and it's got syntax highlighting for everything and it's really good. And if you do use it and you haven't paid for it, you should feel ashamed of yourself. If you don't use it, you might want to have a glance at it, because I've had Atom throw away tabs when I didn't want it to, and I've had VS Code throw away tabs when I didn't want it to, and that's why I like Sublime.
Oh.
Box.
Control R, Control R.
Hang on. Fuck sticks, that's not meant to happen.
That was not meant to happen.
What did I press there then?
So do you have us much
shut
better
up
on paper?
Don't press any of the vote buttons, you wanker. Right, Joe.
Okay, so I'm going for Nano / G-Edit. You could say Pluma, you could say LeafPad, whatever. So for me, as a non-developer, I need to edit text documents on my local system and sometimes over SSH. Nano is absolutely sufficient. That's all I can say about it. It is, it's sufficient. It's acceptable. It's adequate. It's, you know, I don't need anything more complicated. And so why the fuck do I want to use anything else? And
can you set a big black crunch paper?
Well,
if you've got a vote, just press vote.
And look, so it could be G-Edit, which I'm just in the habit of, or Pluma, I think, on WinPress is one, or...
that's what it's known as now.
Yeah, and LeafPad, you know, whatever. Just the basic GUI text editor is perfectly fine when I'm on a GUI. I'm not a developer, so I don't really have a huge horse in this race. So I think that anyone who's voting for this is probably going to be the non-developers, the more sort of sysadmin-y type people who just need to edit a few config files, and Nano is absolutely fine over SSH.
Okay, let's see what you think, and hopefully the vote will come up now. Ah, what's it doing? Fuck's sake.
Don't press any of the vote buttons.
You're all arseholes.
It was all going so well.
It really was as well, bloody thing.
Right, hopefully...
Web app suit maker.
Right, there we go. Quickly now, vote. You should all get the same vote, right?
Come on, Nano.
Seriously? Right. Oh, no. Sublime people, come on. Seriously,
I knew there was more sysadmin types than developers.
No, that can't be the outcome. Whilst Willy's out of the room, that has...
So VS Code wins out of the actual text editors, right?
Oh, come on.
Look, another argument that I forgot for Nano is I was forced to use a Mac the other day and I needed to make some notes on it. And I was like, I didn't know what the fuck the text editor was called. So I just opened a terminal, CD to where I was going to do Nano, blah, 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 made the notes, done. So it even works on a Mac. So it's come on.
Let me add Edge on this cross platform as well.
Yeah, but it's like.
So is VS Code.
Yeah, but Nano is
pre-installed. So Sublime Text. It's called iNano.
Well, Nano worked in the terminal without.
We got it done. You will notice, by the way, people are like, where's Vim and where's Emacs? They're down here with no fucking votes at all. Okay, so Nano and G-Edit win with 51.6%. Well played, people. Okay, so our next question. Should Linux Voice do podcasts again? I think they've all left now.
They're upstairs, are they?
Bastards.
So, so this is our question that we're interested in your opinion on. Here's our answer. Vote now.
Linux means Linux.
And then someone take a picture of this and show it to Ben.
You can't quite read it.
Oh, it's off the top of the screen.
Balls.
No, just don't fiddle with
no,
it.
No, that
just
didn't
leave
work.
It alone. Excellent. Got a picture of it. Okay. And finally, just to cause arguments. I think this one was Joe's idea, you'll be surprised. But we're interested in your opinion on what the best show tonight is.
That's the best show.
Right, so now you've got time to think.
Oh, yeah,
about
no,
it.
You don't actually get to vote on this one, I don't think.
Yeah, you do.
Do you?
You should do. Control R.
Talk amongst yourselves.
And if you don't vote, then fuck you.
Right, so you've got some real time to think about it. Which was the best show tonight?
Oh, he's fucked
it up again.
It's your stupid keyboard thing.
I told you we should have tried this before.
I tried it several times with my wife, and she was like, when we got to the best open source personality, she was like, what, there's no RMS?
And we were
married
like,
a keeper there.
There's no RMS.
It's not that he hates me.
Yes, they should vote. Well, best show tonight.
Right, yay! There we go. Right, vote. Best show tonight. Right. Come on. Oh, it's tight. It was tight. Nice. Oh, it's very tight.
You're not supposed to vote for us.
What did you vote for, Wimpy?
Wow, look at
that.
It's tighter than it. Come on, keep voting.
Change my vote. Change
my vote. Popey with his 12 phones. He's over in the corner, pressing on the button.
I'm tweeting, darling.
Fuck, did you actually tweet the link?
That's my tablet.
Don't tweet the link. I'm sending you the invoice. Right, are we calling it?
No.
Yeah,
no voting, you cheating fuckers. Right, Joe, step out of the way so people can take a photo of that, because I'd like to see a photo of that, because that's really close. And to be honest with you, what that tells you is they're all really good.
Except this one, which was shit. Yeah.
You weren't supposed to vote for us, right? Okay, so basically, now we press the button and it's time for drinks. So, I just want to say thank you very much, all of you, for coming. This has been Foss Talk Live. And the most important thing is I want to say thank you very much to Joe for organising it. Give it up. Joe Rest.
There would be no Foss Talk Live without all of you.
Agreed entirely. So, yes, thank you very much, Dave. Thank you very much, Maris. Thank you very much, Joe. I've been Stuart Langridge. Now it's time to go and get a beer.
And what, are we going to go to the, what's it called?
The Water Rats again.
Water Rats, yeah. Which is a terrible part, but it's up late, so fuck it. Yep. Water Rats, here we come.
So we go to the Water Rats. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.